When everything's good is easier than when things are a little tough, and he's worthy of our praise regardless. All right, glad you're here this morning, and we want you to listen. We're just going to give you something simple today. We're going to preach on the family, and it's family day. Last week was friend day. We preached on our friend, and today we're going to preach on the family, all right? You make anything, say, help yourself. Turn to Luke chapter 6. That's where we'll be. Luke chapter 6. We'll see what all the Lord has for us this morning, all right? Luke chapter 6 is where we'll be. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray together. Father, I come just now, and Lord, I understand my unworthiness, my weakness, and my inability. And Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I know that I'm a filthy wretch is all I am. And Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me, that I might be able to be used this morning. I might be a vessel that you would use. And we thank you for all that you give, all that you do. Thank you for your word. I pray now, Lord, we might apply it to ourselves. Lord, as we read it and preach it, Lord, help us to apply it. Listening is one thing, applying is another. Lord, I pray this morning that we might walk the way you have us to walk. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for each and everyone that has come. For the children, young people downstairs, all the workers, I pray for them this morning. Use them as Jared preaches to them this morning. I pray that you would use him today. But right now, Lord, speak to our heart. And those who's listening on live stream, speak to them. May we magnify your name, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, today, as we said, is family day, and glad that you could be with us. And we honor every family today. You're a part of a family. You say, well, I'm just me. Well, you're family. And we're glad you're here today. Most important thing that God has ever made in all of his creation is the family, is the home. It's not the church. The church is a great institution, but the greatest thing ever made is the family. And they was a family for many, many years before they was ever a church. And that's how important it is. When I go back through the Word of God and read about the family as God started the first one with Adam and Eve, and He did that. God presented Eve to Adam. There they started a family. And as they started that family, it was God and Adam and Eve. Think about that. That's what constituted the family. Can I tell you that we got to have the Lord to have a family? Everybody needs the Lord. And you're part of a family. And everything comes together. But can I tell you, so go the family, so go the country. So go the family, so go the church. So go the family, so go the world. And our families are in dire need today. We know that. Mine is, from what I can see, everybody else's is too. We all got problems. We all got our share of problems. But the Lord is still the answer. I'm not going to give you nothing new this morning. Christ is the answer. I'm going to preach the same thing over and over and over because that's what we need. The Lord is still the answer this morning. And if you don't know the Lord, you need to know Him. If you do know the Lord, you need to obey Him. If you're not obeying, then you need a whooping. And can I tell you, if you are not obeying, you're going to get a whooping. If you know the Lord and won't obey, you will get a whooping. You say, well, I ain't whooping me, then you're a bastard, not a son, to hell you'll go. And that's just about as simple as it gets, all right? But we want to talk to you about the family. We're not going to preach down to you. We're going to preach up to you and let you understand the greatness of a family. When you think about it, now you go back through the Word of God and read Jesus thought the home was as important as what God did in the beginning as God the Father, and then Christ as God thought it important just as well. Is everybody all right with this? Now, I want you to think about a couple of things. When God made Adam and Eve and thought it right to have Adam and Eve, and had a home, and wanted to dwell in a home together. He didn't want a home that he could control and beat with a whip, but he wanted a home that he could fellowship with, that he could be the center of and be a part of. And if there's anything ever lacking today, it's not that we don't include God, but He's not the center. He's not there to fellowship with. We don't fellowship with. We fellowship with the world and hold on to God. That's where we're at today. He's not the center. Now, He's the center maybe on Sunday morning. He may be the center on Sunday night. There's occasion He's the center on a weekday. But I don't know that He's the center every day. We're busy. We're all busy. Everybody's don't have time. Time is the greatest thing you can give. If you give anybody time, you give them more than millions of dollars. Because the time can't never be replaced. Most precious thing you can give someone is time. Whether it be a phone call or a letter or a visit and that's the way it is with the Lord. If we don't take time with the Lord, then we're hurting. We gotta have time with Him. I'm asking you this morning, do you take time with the Lord? Think about that. That's where our failures come. But when God made Adam and Eve and made the first home, I can see an importance there. If He's gonna start that first, it must be important, would you think? Talk to me this morning. Would you think that? When I start and look at Jesus' ministry, where did He perform His first miracle? At a wedding. Now, you think that was by coincidence? I don't believe it was a coincidence. I believe He started His earthly ministry with a miracle at a wedding feast. Maybe putting His approval or honor at a union that was being taken place. I believe it was a great thing. I believe it was more, it didn't just happen. I don't believe in happenstance, but the Word of God. I don't believe it just happened. I believe God's got a plan. I believe in a sovereign God that runs things. Man don't run. Man thinks he runs things. But man don't run nothing. God's in control. The devil don't run. The devil can't even do nothing without permission. Think about that. God, he is the God. High and holy and lifted up, and ain't nobody like him. And he's in control this morning. When I start reading through the Word of God and I find Joshua made a statement, he said, and we've preached on it many times, we have it in our houses on home interior and little plaques and little things. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he didn't speak for him and Miss Joshua, but he spoke for him and four generations, because the home and the family is an institution that God has made to be handed down continually, one generation after another, that we be right and be together. That's the family. That's the family. Think about that. Joshua had enough influence that he said, for me and my house, four generations is a lot to speak for. That's a lot to speak for. And he spoke for it. And can I tell you, the four generations done what he said. What was sad though, the last generation, the fourth generation, didn't carry on. Because you'll read, it says, and then there was a generation that arose that do not God. Because something broke there in the home. Can I tell you, the family is important this morning. Then we have the family of God. Listen, I'm part of a big family. Now, the Secrets may not be a big family. And I'm kin to the Burrises, and then on that side, I'm kin to Conleys and Richmonds and Velocchi's and all these other kinds of people. And then I'm kin to Sechrist and all that bunch, all right? And some can be spoken of, some shouldn't be, all right? Just like your family, all right? Some people have a genealogy and some have a criminal record. And that's just family. That's just family, all right? But then I got born again. I was born into the Secret family and kin to a lot of people. But I was born again, and now I'm part of the family of God. I've got family everywhere. Good family. Good family. I can go to other churches and fellowship because I got family there. I can go to other countries and fellowship because I got family there. They nothing better than family. When you got a problem, let me tell you, the ones you can really depend on come down in his family. Huh? That's who you can really trust. When it comes down to everything, there'll be some people who'll stick in there almost all the way. But when the going gets tough, you can depend on there's somebody in the family that'll die with you right there. Are you hearing me today? Family's important. Family's important. You say, well, I don't get along with all my family. Well, that's none of my business. You need to work on that. You need to fix that. Huh? Brother Rick tells ain't no fussing allowed. All right? We ain't got no business fussing with family. All right? Ain't got no business fussing with neighbors either. All right? We ought to be able to get along. Why? Because we're family. We're family. Can I tell you, when it comes to the family of God, I didn't choose my family when I was born a long time ago. I didn't choose what family I was going to be born in. And I didn't choose what family to be. When God saved me, he put me where he wanted me to be. And we need to remember that. But that's family. I just want to try to you understand that the family is important. Look at Luke chapter 6. You can read the same account in Matthew 7, but we want to read Luke's writing here. Luke chapter 6, verse 47, we'll start there. And it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation building a house upon the earth against Moses upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now this is a parable, and it's about a home, but if you go back and you read it all in Matthew and Luke both, he's shown some ways of salvation and some ways of our main foundation. In Matthew, when you read the account, he starts with the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, then two trees, and then of those who has false professions, those who say, Lord, Lord, but he'll deny and say, I never knew you. All of that, then he went on and showed two foundations, one built on a rock and one built on the sand. Here Luke has it, he's built on the earth. It's the same thing here. I want you to understand, listen carefully, that it matters how we build our families. It matters what they're built on. Now, everybody has a problem. Everybody. I can't never think of his name. Bud, the fellow preached on the issues at the camp meeting. Little short. Stiltner. Yeah, Bud Stiltner. He preached on issues. And remember, we all got issues. Huh? Some of you got more than others. I got more than my share. We've all got issues. All right? So, we're not perfect. Everybody understand that? We're not perfect. But we have the ability to build upon a perfect foundation. We have that ability. We can build on a solid foundation this morning. So let's look at a couple of things. The first thing I see in this scripture in verse 48, he says, when he shows us what it's going to be like, he said, he's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Can I tell you, there's a responsibility I see this morning. There's a responsibility, and I believe the responsibility lays on the man. The Bible teaches it lays on the man. Man was created first, and then the woman. And the man is responsible for making sure that the family is founded on a solid foundation on the rock. And the rock, I believe with all my heart, to be Jesus Christ. He's the rock this morning. And we're going to have to make sure that our foundation is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about the responsibility of a man, it's a sure foundation. It's a rock. It's not the earth. It's not the world. But it's a person. I don't know what's happened to the day when even Christians have forgotten to try to build their home upon Christ. Christ is the solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's more than a song. It's true. It's true. And I, with all my heart, I believe that what goes on in my family, that it's my responsibility to be the lead and take the lead and to make sure that it's founded upon the solid foundation. And if you're a man this morning, it's your responsibility to see that your family is founded upon a solid foundation. But can I tell you, there's more spirituality in the women than they are the men, because the men won't take the responsibility to dig down deep. It says that he digged. He didn't just go out there and find a rock and build on it, but he says, he's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. He didn't dig on a surface rock. He didn't build upon a surface rock that could be moved, but he digged deep and built on a solid rock. Are you hearing me this morning? Man, we ought to build upon the solid rock where there's no give, huh? There's no give that's built solid and it'll last. I'm here to tell you, it'll last. And the storms are going to come. Ain't nobody here without a storm. Ain't nobody here without a problem. Ain't nobody here without a flood that comes against. Huh? And it beats vehemently, hard. It's boisterous winds, hard winds, shaking winds. Can I tell you, everybody gets shook. But man, we need to make sure that we're built on the foundation that matters, huh? Think about that this morning. Now, I don't know whether I'm preaching something new or y'all sleep or what, but I didn't think it was anything new.
You're doing good.
Huh? The foundation is the key, though.
Yes, it is.
It's not who builds, it's what's built upon.
Amen.
Foundation ain't Mark's secret for my home. The foundation is Jesus Christ. But I've got a responsibility to build upon that foundation. And so do you this morning. You have that same responsibility. When I look on, you know, Nehemiah says something very, very, I don't know, it's important, of course, but it's eye-opening. When they're building on the walls on Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, I believe it's Judah, that says, you know, they just got through talking with the adversity. The people was coming and was again building. Can I tell you, there's people against you having a strong home. Now, they may not carry a sign and put it up to your window and say, you shouldn't have a strong home. But let me tell you what they'll do. They'll do everything in their power, the world will, the enemy will, to see that your concentration is off a strong home. Huh? So the adversity, the people come and was giving them problems there in Nehemiah's day. And you know what it said there in verse 10? It said that there's too much rubbish and we can't build. Can I tell you this morning, there's an awful lot of rubbish laying around that keeps us from building. Are you hearing me this morning? And that rubbish is going to have to be cleared away. And we're going to have to quit listening to the voices of the world that wants to destroy the home. We listen to them all the time. We hear them. Huh? If you watch your TV, I've got a TV and I watch some things on TV. But if you watch the TV, can I tell you that the program that's on the TV is to destroy your home? And you say, oh, that's not true. It is true.
Amen.
They'll have homes of, and they'll try to force in your mind and in your children's mind same-sex marriages, lesbianism and homosexuality and transgenderism. And you say, well, that's okay. No, it's not. It's there to destroy your home. It's there to destroy the value of your home. It's there to down the masculinity of the home. Hear me. Ain't no woman as strong as a man. I don't care how mean you are. You're not as strong as a man. You can't outwork a good man. You may outwork a deadbeat, but you can't outwork a man. There's something about the masculinity that God has laid in a man to provide for the home and protect the home, and the world and the people that's against the home tries to take away the masculinity.
Amen.
Authority in the home. Are you hearing me? That's what goes on. The world's against the home, against the family. Huh? You think about it. Pornography, nudity. That's not to praise the creation, but it's to disgrace the creation. But what it's for is to destroy the home. That's what it's for. It's in your pocket. It's in your pocketbook. It's on your phone. It's on your computer. It's on the TV. It's at the movie house. It's on the billboards. It's on advertisements for food. You tell me why you got to take off your clothes to advertise some kind of food product. What's the purpose of that? Huh? Are you listening to me? And you say, well, that's just life. No, it's not just life. It's an attack against your family. Do you not understand that? And it's up to the men. Listen, I don't blame a woman for nothing. I don't blame a woman for sin in the garden. Because she gave to eat with her to her husband that was with her. I believe it's the man. If I read my Bible correctly, that Adam fell. Didn't say Eve did. We okay? Men, come on, men. Hey, women, how about y'all say amen? Men ain't going to. We're living in a day, where the men need to build, dig deep and lay a foundation on a rock. And when a storm comes to your home, it can be held together. And we got to have that. See, we're living, that's not how things are today though. I mean, now, if it's to hit you, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. It's just truth. We've got men that allow their girls to go to a dance that's dressed like a hooker on the corner of the street. Huh? Think about it. It's the way it is. Huh? And we wonder why there's a problem. Men, y'all look at me. Act like the women ain't here. Men, look at me. If you was a teenage boy, and they was a girl that didn't have hardly nothing on, and you in a vehicle, going into a dance where there ain't going to be nobody paying you no mind, would you read scripture or would you fool around? Ain't nobody here. It'd be rare if anybody just wanted to read scripture. Right, right or wrong? What do you think they're going to do? And there's a lull come over. Silence. I'm just telling you that it's against your family. It's against your children. It's against your daughters. It's against your sons. Huh? The family is so important. Nobody comes home with family until there's problems. If there'll be a problem, listen, you can mess with me all you want. Huh? You can do about anything to me, but don't you be fooling with my family. Don't be fooling my wife and my kids and my grandkids. No, no, no. The line's done been drawn. Listen, I'll take and take. But you can't hurt my family. But can I tell you, the world out there is after our family. It's after to destroy our family. To destroy you with it this morning. Right. Yes. The only hope that we have is making sure our foundation is Jesus Christ. Right. On Christ, the solid rock. On Christ. It's on Christ this morning. We got to stand on Him. When I think about the things that goes on and what we allow and what goes on, the activity of the world is destroying our home. The activity of the world is destroying our home. Hear me. You may hate me. You may not like this. But we've got so much activity and time spent in the activity of the world with sports and functions outside the church house that after you spend all your energy in it, you're going to grow old and your kids are going to leave home and you're going to be married to a stranger and there's not going to be no love or fellowship in your house because you put all your energy into your children and let them go to hell through the world. That's just a fact. Can I tell you, man, your first responsibility is your wife. Not your children. Amen. Wife, your first responsibility is your husband, not your children. That's your first responsibility, your spouse.
Yes, it is.
Then you take care of your children. because children are temporary, but a family is forever. Mom and Dad, listen to me. We're talking about family. As you say, I thought you were doing encouragement. It ought to be encouraging. I'm telling you what to watch for. Amen. Telling you what not to do. If that ain't encouraging, I don't know what would be. Huh? Hear me today. I read in the Bible, I'll give you four things and we'll quit. Huh? Four quick things here. Four homes. Let me look at. At Adam and Eve. That's where we start. That's where we'll go back to this morning. Now I want you to understand that if you build on the rock, when the storms come, it won't shake. But if you build on the earth or the world, it'll be torn apart. It'll be torn apart. Listen to me. Adam and Eve, what happened? Well, they had kids. Who did they have? They had Cain and Abel. Wonderful. Had two strapping big old boys. Huh? Think about it. Had to be hard workers. Cain tilled the ground. He didn't have a John Deere. He didn't have a Massey Ferguson. Huh? What he hooked to, a horse or a zebra or elephant? I don't know what he plowed with. But he had a plow. He had to make him a plow. He said he was a tiller of the ground. He made a tiller. Well, you tell me how he made a tiller. A tiller chopped up the ground. He wasn't no panty waist guy, man. He was a worker. Amen. Right? Abel was a shepherd. Huh? Well, he had to learn to build a barn. All them animals running loose. He had to chase off. Have you ever thought of that? He had to chase all this stuff down. He couldn't be a shepherd until he had sheep. We had to go gather them all up. They was created. They was laying there. Right? Everybody understand me? And they was taught in the same home. But can I tell you, this is a perfect example of our home today. Because God and Adam and Eve were there, but they were still problems in the home. Here we find the first example of a rebellious child. You know how many is rebellious? One out of two. One out of two. Somewhere down the line, one out of two is going to be a mess. Huh? Amen. And at times, it's going to be, I think, a switch. Huh? But can I tell you that every home has sin? Adam and Eve's home wasn't no different. Listen, it wasn't the neighbors that caused Cain and Abel's problem. It wasn't the neighbors' kids. It wasn't what they learned at school. It was Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And they were problems because sin's the problem. Huh? You say, well, who was at fault? Well, it had to be Adam and Eve. It wasn't uncle or aunt. It wasn't papa or mama. No. It was Adam and Eve. Huh? Now, did they not teach Cain the same thing? I don't know what they taught Cain. I know what he worshipped. I don't know what all he was taught. Did he just not hear? Would he just not listen? Huh? Abel come along and was a shepherd and was worshipped the right way, done right. Was there more time took with the baby than the older one? I don't know. But what I want to show you is that there's no home perfect. There's none of us without fault. There's none of us that don't need help this morning. Huh? I've got to have help. I've got to have help with Cheryl. Y'all know Cheryl's got to have help with me. We had to have help with the boys. Huh? I mean, it's wonderful the life Philip has now. It's wonderful. But Philip didn't used to always be that way. Huh? Marcus is a preacher down Tennessee. That's wonderful. But can I tell you, he got kicked out of school just the same. Huh? I mean, they run in the door and nobody likes to say much about it, but they run in the door. Philip says, Dad, you won't believe what Marcus done. Talking about somebody whooped across the road. Huh? They have trouble in my home just the same as it was anybody else's. Are you understanding? Let me tell you something. Me and Cheryl have been a marriage counselor. I'm not proud of it. I'm telling you, we would not be without our problems. We've had to take Philip to anger management. Had to take him to try to talk to the Michaels. It's either that or it's going to kill him. I'm just telling you, my home is no different than anybody else's. Your home ain't no different than mine. And Lord knows I'm not going to write down all my mistakes and all my failures. I'm not going to write them all down, but can I tell you, there's page after page after page. But I thank God it can't shake, but so far, when I'm down on the foundation, it don't shake any. The house don't shake any down on the foundation. Are we following everybody all right? We okay this morning? What I want you to understand, Adam and Eve had the first home. There wasn't no pressure. But can I tell you, it shows me that everybody has choices. Adam and Eve had choices. Are you hearing me? Cain and Abel had choices. You have choices this morning. You have choices. Everything rises and falls, they say, on leadership. Can I tell you, I think it rises and falls on choices. If I make the wrong choice, if I make my own choice, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but then there are other ways of death, the Bible says. Huh? I better be concerned about the will of God and the path of God. Is everybody okay this morning? I look in the Bible and I see Abraham and Sarah. Well, they ain't nobody any better than Abraham. He was a friend of God. Ain't nobody else in the Bible ever said they was a friend of God. God said Abraham was his friend. Huh? Him and Sarah, full of faith. Weren't they full of faith? Then you see him lying. Then you see him full of faith again. Huh? Then you see him laughing at God. Huh? You know that when they named Isaac, you know what Isaac means, don't you? Laughter. No wonder why would Sarah name Isaac or Isaac. Because she's laughing in the tent when the Lord told her you're going to have a kid. She laughed down and named it. She's still laughing about it. Huh? What I want you to know, Abraham and Sarah are listed in the hall of faith of great people, but they weren't perfect. They had problems and they had to depend on the foundation that they had. You're not perfect and you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems one with another. And you're going to have problems with your kids. And you're going to have problems with your spouse. But the foundation is what matters this morning. The foundation has got to be founded upon a rock. And not just any rock, but the rock, Jesus Christ, this morning. Think about it. Then I see Lot and his wife. I see Abraham and Sarah had choices. Abraham says, Sarah, now you, when we get down there, you lie. Don't tell them you're my wife. She said, okay. Choices. Choices. We still okay? Choices. Sarah wouldn't believe God. It was a choice. Look at me. You say my face weak. You got a choice to believe God or not. You got a choice to believe God or not. You say, well, my faith is weak. The faith don't belong to you. Our faith comes from the Lord. I have nothing. When I come to Jesus, I come bankrupt. Had nothing. Huh? Nothing. And I believe that grace and faith are the gift of God. Huh? But you got a choice to believe. You got a choice. Sarah didn't want to believe God. I'm trying to show you that we preach and we show and we say, well, there's a standard and we must get, listen, we all miss the mark. There ain't nobody here better than the other, but I'm trying to show you, you can't do it. You got to have the Lord this morning. Because you can't do it. You've got to have the Lord. You ain't able. You ain't smart enough. You're not strong enough. You've got to have the Lord. Huh? For for a family's got to be founded on the Lord. But when we see where we're wrong and we see where we made mistakes, then we hit our knees and call out to God and repent of our sin and then get up and follow the Lord. That's all we can do. Lot, and he had the right teaching. Abraham taught him. Abraham raised Lot. He came and lived with Lot, or lived with Abraham. Lot did. He was taught right, but he wouldn't listen. Everybody look at me this morning. You know what our problem is? It ain't that we're not taught. We don't listen. We don't listen. We're taught right. We got the Word of God. There ain't no excuse for anybody under the sound of my voice this morning, Mark Sechrist included. We don't listen. We don't listen. It ain't that we don't hear. We don't listen. We don't listen. Lot didn't listen. How do you know? How do you know? Well, look at his choices. Look at his choices. Abraham gave him a choice. He chose the well-watered plain. Abraham didn't argue. Well, if that's the way you want to go, I'm going to go this way. Was it the watered plain that bothered him? No. It wasn't the watered plain, the well-watered plain that hurt Lot. It was the direction that he faced his house. You know, when we build houses today, we look at the piece of ground, and we all say, how do we want this house to face? Because the way the house is faced is what gets all the attention. Are you hearing me? The way the house is faced gets all the attention. Lot faced his house toward Sodom. What got all his attention? Sodom. Does the scripture not say that those people down in Sodom were wicked? Is that not what it says? You go ahead and face your home and your family facing the wicked, and pretty soon you'll be living with the wicked, and the wicked will live with you, and you'll be down in a mess. What'll happen? That's what'll happen, but Lot wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. He finds himself in Sodom. He hated it. He hated it. He didn't you'll never find where he said Sodom was okay. He didn't bow down and say Sodom's okay. He judged them. He tried to change them. He sat in the gate as a judge, hoping he could make a difference, but he couldn't make a difference. Because he was in the wrong place. Y'all follow me this morning? What happened? While he was trying to get Sodom to change, Sodom got in his family and changed them. Instead of him concentrate on family, he concentrate on the men at the gate. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? What happened with Lot? His wife turned into a pillar of salt. All of his son-in-laws got burnt up. The two daughters, his two virgin daughters that come out of Sodom with him, he ended up getting drunk and having sex with his own daughters, having children. And Ammonites and the Moabites were a thorn in Israel's flesh forever. All because of a bad choice. Because they wouldn't listen. Lot was one of the first ones that says, yeah, I know. You know that's all of our byword, don't you? You know that's a word that everybody uses today? You tell them, yeah, I know. You know you shouldn't do that, yeah, I know. You know you ought to do this, don't you? Yeah, I know. You know that God ain't going to bless that, don't you? Yeah, I know. You know that there's judgment. Yeah, I know. Right or wrong? See, we don't listen. It ain't that we don't hear. It ain't that we don't know, because we know everything. Because that's what we say. I know. Of all the things, you know, I hate cussing. It rubbed me wrong, cussing. If I'm in a restaurant and there's somebody cussing, I usually tell them, shut up or leave. I'm not leaving, but you're not going to talk like that. So far, I've got by with it. But I can't handle it. I just can't do it. Huh? But I would rather somebody cuss anymore as I would say, yeah, I know. Because when they say, I know, I say, oh, here we go. Get ready. Get ready for the 3 o'clock phone call. Get ready. Get ready. Because trouble's coming. Because we don't listen. Lot and his wife, they didn't listen. Lot died in shame. Lost his wife. Confidence of his children. Son-in-law died in shame. Then I see another home, Ahab and Jezebel. One thing I can say about Ahab and Jezebel, they never pretended. The Bible says Ahab was the wickedest king and ever was. And he married Jezebel, and she was so full of the devil, I don't know that they can measure it. Huh? But they never hid what they were. Have to give them credit there. Some people, they're lost as lost can be, but they don't hide it. They know they're lost. But I want you to understand, without any foundation at all, Ahab and Jezebel heard the best preaching of the day. Did you know that? It wasn't just Elijah. There was a lot of prophets that preached in the time of Ahab and Jezebel. But Elijah was the main spokesman. Him and Elisha both preached, and both of them saw things that happened there. But can I tell you, it don't matter who the preacher is. That don't save you. It don't matter who the prophet is. Don't save you. Somewhere you are going to have to turn from the life that you're living and put your faith in God yourself. And Ahab refused to do it. And Jezebel refused to do it. Ahab had one of them coincidental killings. You know, everybody's what everybody says. The Bible says that a man at a venture took a bow and shot up in the air, but God directed the arrow, and it didn't just hit Ahab, it hit him where his armor met in the weak place. Killed old Ahab, graveyard dead. You don't sin and get by. You don't sin and get by with God. Jezebel thought everything's going to be okay. Painted her face, looking out the window. Jehu comes through, looks up there, and the eunuchs are beside her. Said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" Said, "That'd be us." He said, "Pitch her down." And they pitched her out. Beat her head on the walls and busted her skull. He runned over with the chariot, went and put the horses back in the stable, brushed the horses off, went to eat supper, said, "Better go get her. She was a king's daughter. Better go get her and bury her." But they didn't. Had nothing to bury, because the dogs had done everything but her hands and her skull. Just in a few minutes, the dogs eat her. You don't seem to get by. I'm talking about families this morning. Our families are so important. There's not a bum family in here this morning. There's not a bum family in here this morning. There's not a bum family downstairs. There's not a bum family listening on live stream. Everybody in here is important unto God. Let me tell you how I know. Because God knows what we was going to be and seen us as we are and said, "I'll go yonder and put on a robe of flesh and die on a cross for their sins that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And you are that important this morning that God would die for you. And your family's that important. And we're going to make bad choices. And we're going to make mistakes. And we're going to sit and say, I wish I had a... Oh, we're going to do that. That's life. But oh, make sure we ain't the ones saying, I wished I'd got saved. I wished I'd trusted when the preacher preached on the cross. Huh? Don't let that be the regret. We need the Lord this morning. The family's important. Let me read the scripture, shall you go to piano? It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Can I tell you, it the same storms that come, listen, the problems you have ain't no new problems. The problems you have, you wasn't tricked. You wasn't tricked with a new trick. Huh? The Bible says that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, that's the only three things the devil's ever used. It's worked fine all these years. Huh? And you've made the good decisions like others, and you've made bad ones like others. Huh? What you need this morning is make the right one. You need to make the right one today. Make sure everything's right on the foundation. Get rid of the rubbish. Huh? When Nehemiah went in there, you know he never carted off all the walls. He rebuilt the walls. Huh? Are you hearing me? He didn't throw everything away and start new. He went in and rebuilt the walls that was torn down so they'd have some identity and have their family. And he put every family, if you read your scripture, and he put the Joneses on that wall and the Smiths on that wall and the Piatts on that wall, Piatt on Sunday, and he put all them, you know, huh? Are you following me? Families. But they said, but there's people against us. Yeah. Yeah. There's people against you. Nehemiah said, go ahead. But they strengthened their hands for the work. Nehemiah made sure there was somebody on the wall with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Protecting families. That's what they was doing. Are you hearing me? He said, yeah, but there's too much rubbish. Well, if you'll read, they got rid of the rubbish. But the foundation was the same. Who's our foundation this morning? Christ. You need the Lord. You need the Lord in your home, in your family. You need the Lord in your personal life. You need the Lord. And it's got to start somewhere. If he ain't your foundation this morning, you need to let it start this morning. And you find your place around this altar, and we'll show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. But this morning, if you're saved, you've got a saved family. Wonderful! That's great! Let's get rid of the rubbish.
Yes.
Let's get rid of the rubbish. And let's have a home that's pleasing to the Lord. We're going to make mistakes. I guarantee you, you'll make them before the day's out. Huh? I guarantee it. Huh? I guarantee your mind ain't going to work right today. Guarantee it. Huh? Sometimes we're dumber than a rock. Huh? That's just life.
Yeah.
Every now and then. We say, man, I'm glad I done that. Huh? Right? Well, they say an old blind hog will find an acorn every now and then. Huh? But can I tell you, most of our life is, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, I wish I hadn't went there. Oh, that's our life. It's all because of that rubbish around our foundation. We got to build upon the rock this morning. Our family. How about you this morning? How's things down at your house? How's things down at your house this morning? Father, I believe with all my heart you've spoken to me. Lord, I've tried to clean up last night and this morning all week. It seems like the more I clean, I don't haul the dirt off. I just put it in another corner. Oh God, help me to throw it out and let the house be clean. Father, I pray for our people this morning, those here in this sanctuary, those downstairs, those on live stream. Oh God, I pray that we might remove the rubbish, dig down deep, and have everything built upon the solid foundation. May we be pleasing to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. You do, if the Lord spoke to you, you do. You do whatever needs to be done. Come to the Lord. You need the Lord this morning. You need the Lord this morning. That I can promise you.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each blood, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Is the most important institution that there is. Believe the Bible plainly. Is guard your family. Take care of your family. Love your family. And I'm glad we're part of the family. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. All right?
Andrea, do you want to speak about what I'm doing tonight?